Well, without further ado, I'd like you to welcome Pastor Craig.
Morning, church. How are you? That's good. That's good. So Pastor Kerry basically preached my entire close just a moment ago. So you're going to hear it in duplicate or maybe stereo. But I think it's encouraging when God gives anyone a message and it just gets confirmed and confirmed through series of events. So I'm excited about what I'm about to bring to you. So would you join me in prayer? So, Father, we just thank you that we're able to come into your house yet again. We thank you that you are just so, so good to us. Lord, and as we come into your house, Father, maybe with our own agendas, maybe our own problems, maybe our own situations, circumstances that we need you to intervene in, Lord God. Father, we just lay them all at your feet right now. Lord, we trust that you are at work in those situations, in those circumstances. And so we come with no agenda before you, Lord, and we just ask you to have your way with us this day. Lord, we ask you that you'd speak to us. Father, that we'd leave this place changed. So, Father, would you use me as your vessel, Lord God? Would you give all of us eyes to see, ears to hear? Father, would we receive what you have for us this morning? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, church, it's our second Sunday of December. And one thing that we haven't mentioned yet is that the church is looking incredibly beautiful. So a big thank you to our welcome team for putting all of this stuff out. So thank you, welcome team. And as we prepare for Christmas, December always reminds me of the hope that we have in Christ. As he was born in Bethlehem all those many, many years ago. And it reminds me of those great prophecies in the Bible that a great hope. His name is Jesus. He would enter into the world. And it's one of those times of the year that you can hear the anticipation in the air, in the lead up to Christmas, from Christians and non-Christians alike. You see, as we wait to celebrate this miraculous event on Christmas Day, I want to explore an instruction that we often hear but seldom explain. And it's the idea or the concept of waiting upon the Lord. This morning we're going to take some time to explain how to wait upon the Lord and what the result of waiting upon the Lord should be. You see, many would suggest that this type of waiting is simply an attritional scenario, that we better batten down the hatches, that we better prepare for the long haul, that it isn't going to be pretty, and that we're just going to have to hang in there and not give up. You see, has anyone ever read about waiting upon the Lord in the Bible? Has anyone heard that instruction? Has anyone been given that great encouragement when you come up maybe for prayer? Anyone? Yeah, some of you? Has anyone ever started to wait upon the Lord as best they know how? And become a little discouraged or disillusioned or disinterested in the waiting? How long is this going to go on for? What am I meant to do? See, I want you to know that this morning, this is not the type of waiting that God has intended for you. Just this tiring, disillusioning, or discouraging scenario. You see, it can feel a bit like going into a doctor's surgery. Have you ever had that scenario? Have you ever gone into the doctors with good intent? Maybe get in there a little bit early. See, I always like to try that one. Like, I'll try and get the earliest appointment and I'll get in a little bit early. And then you get to reception at 5 to 9 in the morning. You're like, I've got the 9 o'clock appointment. I know it's the first one. I'll just sit down, right? And the receptionist says, somehow, oh, Mr. Parker, doctor's running a little bit late. Like, how? Seriously, how? Okay, so that's fine. Tell me how long I got to wait. Oh, it's not too long. It's maybe about 40 minutes. 40 minutes? You're having a laugh. And suddenly all of that motivation, all of that good intent just suddenly dwindles away. And it becomes a really tiring, long, hard slog. You see, that's not the type of waiting that the Lord would want for us. Have you ever been at the deli counter at like Coles or Woolworths? You know where they give you that little ticket and it's like, okay, I got number 97. And it doesn't seem to be many people around here, so it must be like, I reckon I'm next. And then you look up at the board and it says something like number 72. Like 25 people, where are they? How long is this going to take to get a piece of Christmas ham? Suddenly your motivation and your intent disappears. What about one of those really, really unique and important moments like an emergency? When you have to go to hospital because it's an emergency and you fly down the highway to get your friend to the hospital and you go into A&E and it's an emergency. And you go up to the counter and you're like, I got an emergency here, like it's serious. And they say, okay, yeah, just sit down. Just sit down because you know what? We got about 30, 40, 50 other emergencies that they're more important or crucial that we see before you. And you enter into the endless, mindless, boring wait in the emergency room. Have you ever been in a scenario like that, church? Well, if you have, I want to encourage you that waiting upon the Lord is not meant to look like any of these things. You see, this morning we have the opportunity to encounter a revelation in how we wait upon the Lord. And we want to take it from a place of potential stagnation, that endless wait scenario, to a place of renewal and strength in Christ. You see, there's a term that I hear in a multitude of contexts and scenarios, and particularly at this time of year, I hear it often. And that phrase is, I just can't wait. I just can't wait for Christmas. I just can't wait to see you. I just can't wait to go there. I just can't wait for my birthday. I just can't wait for the holidays. I just can't wait for school to finish. I just can't wait to play football. Some of you will know that last one, when I say that, I'm not joking. I'm not mucking around. I'm so enthusiastic. I'm excited to kick a ball. Some of you, I know, some of you are finishing up at school. I can't wait for school to end. You're not mucking around. You're like counting the days down. You're relentless. It's like every hour, some of you have got timers saying like, there's only like 62 hours and 33 minutes till school is over. You've gone into the granular detail of things. I wonder today, is there anything for you in your lives that you just can't wait for? You see, when we use this kind of language and this term so often, it's describing that something that we're excited to be waiting for. We're so enthused about what is to come. And we're anticipating that it will be good. You see, can I suggest that the prospect of this kind of waiting, a waiting for something that excites us, that we are enthused about or anticipate good outcomes from, will only cause us to become more and more resolute in our waiting. I heard it just this week. Somebody going on holiday very soon. I just can't wait. And they're thinking about the clothes that they've got to pack. They're thinking where that padlock is for their suitcase, to lock their suitcase up. They've gone to the granular details of thought. It's like a steady build-up that culminates in a moment that provides us with satisfaction or hope. In fact, when I just can't wait about something, I end up thinking more and more and more about it. And I build my own excitement because I can't stop thinking about it. And I get more and more excited and focused. And I start to think about the intricacies, the details, and the things I need to prepare for. And I think you can hear it in my voice. I get a little bit excited. So I want to use these two polarizing versions of waiting, that hopeless waiting room style of waiting, and that hopeful version that I just mentioned, as the context for us to enter into the Bible this morning. And the Psalms, my goodness, the Psalms are filled with references to waiting upon the Lord. David throws them down all over the place. He's waiting upon the Lord, that man. And so many others as well. But let's jump into the Psalms. Psalm 27:14. And you know what? I wish I could just read all of these Psalms out to you. The whole lot. But I'm just going to pick out the verses that are pertinent this morning. So Psalm 27:14, it says, "Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord." Psalm 130, verse 5, it says, "I wait for the Lord, my whole being waits, and in his word I put my hope." Psalm 40, verse 1, says, "I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry." You know, some other versions don't say he turned to me. Some other versions say he inclined to me. So as you can see, there are promises available for those who wait upon the Lord. You see, it speaks of hope. It speaks of strength. The Bible speaks of the Lord leaning in to us. These are the positive consequences of waiting upon him. And dare I say it, there is hope, there is strength, and there is a closeness to God when we wait upon him. I hope that is an exciting thought for you, and I hope you are enthused about that idea. You see, when we wait upon the Lord, it's meant to be from a posture covered in hope and expectation. You know, let me develop this thought by heading back to the Hebrew origins of the word waiting. The word in Hebrew is kavah. Can you say kavah? Why don't you say it one more time? Kavah. It's a great word. I've been saying it all around the office all week. People think I'm going crazy. But it means to bind or collect together, or to hope or expect with eagerness. Some descriptions of this binding together say it's like twisting together or entwining together. So if we use this basis, this kavah, as our basis for the term waiting, then we can grasp the biblical concept with a greater understanding. If we use these three examples that we've already spoken out from the Psalms with the understanding of kavah, we read Psalm 27:14 to say, bind together with the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Psalm 130 verse 5 says, I bind together with the Lord. My whole being waits expectantly. And in his word, I place my hope. Psalm 40 verse 1, if we use that kavah again, I binded together patiently with the Lord. And he turned to me and he heard my cry. You see, when we use kavah as the preface for our waiting, we realize that waiting upon the Lord is not a mindless task of blindly sitting in the waiting room or taking a ticket and drifting away until our number is called. When we use kavah in our waiting, we don't lose our focus. We don't lose our motivation. And we don't lose our hope. In fact, it's quite the opposite. Waiting upon the Lord is actually a process of drawing closer to him, binding together with him, bonding firmly together, closer and closer with Christ. Our waiting for the Lord is, in fact, not undertaken in his absence, but it is undertaken in his presence. We wait for the Lord in his presence, and we can get to know him more and more and more and more as we wait with him. You see, at this point, I should probably note, waiting on the Lord does not guarantee our comfort. Sorry, just wanted to slip that disclaimer in. You see, if we undertake a biblical approach to waiting upon the Lord, it doesn't necessarily speed up the process. I'm sorry. It doesn't make it an entirely enjoyable experience necessarily. But it does point us to a place of intimacy with Christ that will produce fruit. I say that to you, church, because patience is still required. Just because we go about our waiting in the right way, it doesn't mean patience is unrequired. Can I put it simply to you today, church? When we wait upon the Lord, we are refined and transformed through the process, not by the outcome. We're refined and transformed through the process, not by the outcome. And possibly one of the most well-known verses in the Bible, it's a verse that we actually have up on our walls here at Hillside, that refers to waiting upon the Lord, is in Isaiah 30. And it says from verse 28, I'm just going to read a few of the verses. I'm reading out of the ESV version. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint. And to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not grow faint. The Lord cannot help but promise good things to us in our waiting, in our binding together with Him. He is so, so good. He cannot help himself. See, Isaiah 30 says that we will receive strength. We will rise up and be strong-winged just like eagles. And we will run without tiredness and walk without fainting. You see, church, our greater proximity to Christ will cause us to encounter spiritual strength. And so I want to tell you a little bit of the motivation behind bringing this word to you this morning. And I'm sorry that it's just so simple. There's not a great deal to it. It's maybe just explaining to you that there is a word called kavah in the Hebrew that sometimes, because of our culture, we can misread it and we can misunderstand it and we can put ourselves in these waiting rooms where an encouragement actually causes chains to take hold of us because someone has said to us, wait upon the Lord. And we take our ticket and we sit down and we do nothing but wait. I just want to encourage you, if you've been in that place, because it's you that I'm speaking to this morning, if you've been in that place where you've been told to wait upon the Lord, and you feel like it's just this endless, I got a ticket, I'm waiting, Lord, I'm just waiting for you to, like, call my number, and then we're going to get down to business, and then you're going to deal with these issues or these circumstances that are brought before you. That's why I've got the ticket. I got the ticket because of my circumstance. I got the ticket because of this situation. I'm waiting for you. So I'm just going to wait endlessly. You see, if that's you today, I believe that's where this message has come to me from the Lord. That He doesn't want you just waiting with a ticket. He doesn't want you sitting down in here waiting for some great epiphany to occur. He wants you to play your part. And you know His desire is always relationship with His people. And so when He calls us to wait upon Him, He's calling us back to relationship. He's not calling us to the endless wait. He's not calling us to disappointment. He's not calling us to disillusionment. It may require our patience, but we will not be weakened in our waiting. And I just, again, if that's you, if you feel just so tired, so reduced in your waiting, I believe this is a word for you. That the Lord would say, I'm going to make you strong. As you draw closer to me in the waiting, as you open this up and you nourish yourself with my word, I'm going to strengthen you. As you give praise, as you worship, I will strengthen you. As you come to know me more, as you spend time with me, I will reveal myself more and more and more, and you will not grow faint, and you will not be disillusioned. And you know what? There is no guarantee of the outcome. I'm not preaching this to you because the outcome's going to be just so awesome. That's for the Lord to work out. I'm preaching this to you because of the process. The process of waiting can draw us so much closer to Jesus. So, church, I speak this out to you with the hope that transformation will occur in this house this morning. His intent is for us to draw closer to Him. Be encouraged this morning, even as you have entered this room with intent to spend an hour and a half, 2 hours in the house of the Lord. You are being strengthened even now. But I want to encourage you that if you've been sitting, waiting, aimlessly, helplessly, with your ticket in hand, this morning is a great opportunity to change your posture. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind today. We have an opportunity to press in, enter in, draw aside to a place of greater intimacy with Christ. We have an opportunity to be strengthened as we enter into the Christmas season. We have an opportunity to change our posture to one of expectancy. That God has not left you in an endless queue. He has not left you with the intention of stagnation. In fact, He has not left you full stop. Lean in this morning, as it says in the Psalms, as we lean in, He leans in to us. So if you're waiting for a situation or a circumstance to move this morning, and I know that while I've mentioned Christmas as being like, yeah, Christmas, I know that it's sometimes not all that easy for some of us this season. But whatever your circumstance, whatever your situation, press in. Press into Christ today. It's this process that will restore you, revive you, and strengthen you. And let Christ do what only He can do over your circumstances. Can I ask the worship team to come, please? You see, when we change our posture from sitting in that endless waiting room to standing with great expectation and anticipation before the Lord, man, He just wants to strengthen each of us. As we continue to take steps, and, you know, here's the how, guys. You know, whether it be through our times of devotion, through our worship, through our praise, through our prayers, through our fellowship, in our patience. There's just a few. Maybe for you, it's just turning on worship music in the car on the way to work and showering Him with praise. Any intention to lean in to the Lord will cause us to be strengthened. You see, He wants so badly to increase relationship with us, not cause us to drift into stagnant water. He wants our waiting to result in fruit, not idleness. So, church, I know Pastor Kerry's actually already done this, and it's kind of funny to me. Why don't we practice some of this idea of pressing in, bonding together, binding with the Lord this morning, Because I had all these questions written out to end my preach, and it's where we started our service this morning. My questions are, have you praised him with all your heart today? Have you told him how good he is today? Oh, this is the one that just gets me. Have you come before the Lord without your agenda today? Did you walk in with an agenda? You know, I just think, Lord, how often do I walk in with an agenda? Well, even if it's a good agenda. Oh, God, give me something for the people today. Please, just give me something, Lord. Give me something. Give me a word. Give me a great prayer, Lord. Give me a word for this man or this lady that I see they're in discomfort. And I come with an agenda. Sometimes it's a good agenda. Instead of just saying, oh, Lord, you're so good. You're just so good. And you know all my stuff. I've told you all my stuff, Lord. And I've told you it twice and three times. And now we're at, you know, the 48th weekend of the year or whatever it is. And I just wanted to remind you of my stuff. You know what? He knows. He knows. And there's something incredibly freeing when we can take a breath and say, Lord, I'm going to come before you because I love you and because you love me. And no agenda. No agenda. Would you speak to me, Lord? Jesus has been in my prayers, in my times where I'm focusing on the Lord. He's been talking to me about this whisper. He's like, Craig, listen, I want to whisper to you. Some of you have seen me praying lately, and it's kind of unusual because I've been praying real quiet. I've been whispering some of my prayers. And because I just sense that the Lord maybe doesn't want to shout at us to get our attention. Maybe he's just looking for us to wait. Maybe he's just looking for kavah from us. That we may take that moment to bond together, to twist together with him, to entwine together with him. Because when we're that close, when the proximity is that close, when we're twisted up so you can't see where I end and where he starts, when we're that close, then he speaks with a whisper because he doesn't need to shout at me. Have you come before the Lord without your agenda lately? Have you told him from the depths of your soul how good he is this morning? I think you have, some of you. Are you ready to be strengthened right here, right now? He wants to do it. He wants to do it. He wants to leave you transformed. So church, you know, why don't we stand up? Why don't we stand? Come on, let's stand. Why don't we tell him how good he is? Why don't we tell him how undeserving we are to receive his grace? Have you thought about that? Let's tell him how thankful we are that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords would lean down, lean in, and want to speak to each of us. The words to this song, I've got them written down here. Church, I just pray blessing over you, that you are blessed, you are called, you are healed, you are whole, you are saved in Jesus' name. You are highly favored, you are anointed. We are filled with his power for the glory of Jesus' name this morning. And let's not forget these next few lines. And should this life bring suffering, Maybe that means waiting. Maybe that suffering requires patience. Maybe that suffering doesn't bring smiles to our faces. Well, let's remember what Calvary has bought for each of us, both now and forever. So, church, as we enter into Christmas, I don't know all of your situations. I don't know all of the things that you have on your plate, whether they be good, great, or otherwise. Can we have a posture of leaning into God? And will we wait and wait well with Him? Why don't we sing?